Hi Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to our messages. If you want more information about our service times, campus locations, or anything else, why don't you check us out at planetshakers.com. Now for the sermon. We've got Pastor Russell speaking on extravagant generosity, a fruit of revival. Let's check it out.
So today, I want to speak to us. I really, really have something burning in my heart for this season, because I do believe it is a year of revival, to restore, to renew, and what else? Restore, renew, and revive. You know, on Friday night we had TGIF and it was off the chart. And, you know, where the world has contracted, God wants us to expand. Three of you agree with that. Who wants to have an expansion year? You don't want to just sit in the norm, but you live in the extra norm. Thank you, Selena. That was a very late hand that went up. Everyone else's hands up, and then Selena goes, "Oh, me too." So I want to speak to you this afternoon, wherever you are around the world. As I've looked at revivals over years, in fact, the first revival that ever happened really is out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came. And there were a whole heap of characteristics connected with revivals, but there's one thing that I see with every revival that I've ever seen is extravagant generosity. And so I want to speak to you this morning on extravagant generosity, a fruit of revival. In the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 32, reading from the Message version, it says, "The whole congregation of believers was united as one. Everyone was united, one heart, one mind. They didn't even claim ownership of their own possessions. No one said, 'That's mine, you can't have it.' They shared everything. The apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master of Jesus. And grace was on them all. And so it turned out that not a person among them was needy. Those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the prices of the sale." And so here we have, and what happens when God moves is you have the nature of Christ living in you. In fact, you think about Jesus, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." The first revival of heaven is God giving to us, his son. And so you see that generosity, extravagant generosity is a part of revival. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to take it probably from verse 6, it says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop." Everyone say small crop. "But the one who plants generously," everyone say generously, "will get a generous crop." Everyone say generous crop. And then it says, "You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." You know, nobody ever should be a person that gives because you're manipulated to give. I'm talking about whether it's your time, whether it's your finance, whether it's your talents. You know, you walk down the street and people sometimes try to get you to sign up to things and they try to make you feel bad about things. You should never give because you feel bad about something. You should give because you have a revelation that it's important to support something or to make a difference on the planet. You don't give out of obligation, you give out of revelation. And the Bible says, "Then," when does "then" have come from? "When you sow, then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed." Someone say, God is the one who provides. You see, your talent, your gift, your ability isn't yours. It's been given by God. If God decides to take your breath away, you can't do anything. God's given us the ability to create wealth, to dream, to see blessing in our lives. Why? Because he gave it to us. And it says, so God is the one who provides seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide. But I love this about God. He's not just a provider. It says an increase. So God not only provides, but gives you an ability to increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. You know, in you, there is a harvest of generosity that you might not even know that you have. It says, yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always, everyone say always, be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they'll joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. Now, I just want to set this up, and then we're going to go into where the meat of what I want to say. The first thing I want us to know is generosity is a seed to our faith. In fact, as I said before, for God so loved the world that he gave. So out of his generosity, he gives us a seed to become people of faith. The Bible says we are saved by grace. It's a gift from God. So God gives each believer the same amount of faith because he puts seed in us. Our job is to grow our faith. God's job is to give us seed. So seed, generosity is a seed to our faith. If you're not generous, you're not living by faith. Second, the size of the seed represents the size of the harvest. So in other words, if you sow sparingly, the harvest will be sparing. But if you sow generously, the harvest will be generous. Because this is how God operates. He says, okay, I want to do something great with you. You know, there's this guy called Captain Levy. He was a believer from Philadelphia who was once asked how he could give so much to the Lord's work and still possess great wealth. The captain replied, oh, as I shovel it out, he shovels it in. The Lord has a bigger shovel. In other words, you look after what God wants you to look after, he will give you more abundance than you could even ever understand. Third thing that you need to see as I set this up to go into the next bit is each person's sacrifice is different. The lady who gave two mites is different to other people, what they gave. It's an individual sacrifice, and we don't compare sacrifices. God is the one who judges what we sacrifice. The fourth thing you need to know is generosity is a joyful experience. My son Jonathan likes restaurants and he likes different food groups. He likes things called hot pot. Anyone like hot pot here? You weird people. And he loves people come and experience it. And Amy's the same. They love taking people to restaurants that they've been to first. Who's ever been like that? You've eaten of something, you go, well, I can't wait till people experience what I've experienced. Who's ever had that experience, right? And so I watch them times, I'll bring people, like one of our family's favorite restaurants is a place called Chin Chin. Anyone eat it at Chin Chin before, right? And so people have never been to Chin Chin, they love bringing people to this restaurant, and they know what tastes good, and so as the things are getting ordered, I watch Jonathan and he's looking at them and he's eating and he's looking at if they're enjoying it. And when they go, that's amazing. All of a sudden he's like, yeah. What is happening is he is getting joy in being generous and seeing the joy that generosity creates. See, when you're generous, you're a joyful person. When you're stingy, you ain't too, I've never met a stingy person that's happy. Have you ever met a stingy person that's happy? They're like, I got this. Yeah, but they're not happy. Because the nature of God in you is to be generous. You ever been at Christmas and you're there and you give a stingy gift? You're like, yeah, there you go. It doesn't create great joy. But if you give a generous gift that's of the heart, and generosity isn't about how much it costs, it is actually how much it is value to you and the person. And so Generosity is a joyful experience. That's why church should be the most joyful place, because we should be the most generous people, because revival is backed up with generous spirit. And a generous spirit is a revival spirit. Wherever there's revivals, there is generosity. And wherever there's generosity, there's revival. And wherever there's revival, there's joy. And by the way, wherever there's joy, there's strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So my generosity and joy and strength are all connected, and they all come from the nature of God. So if you're feeling down, be generous to somebody. You might get some joy. So here's where I want to get to. The results of generosity. Not just what we need to be generous, but what is the results of generosity? What happens when you and I are generous? What happens when we're generous with our time, when we're generous with our finance, when we're generous with our talents, when we're generous with our love, when we're generous with our words? What happens? The good thing is the Bible says here that God increases your seed. In other words, if you're generous with what He's given you, He trusts you. If you're stingy with what He's given you, He doesn't trust you, so He's not going to increase your seed. Because God has given you and I talents and abilities. He's given us the ability to bless others. But if we're not going to use what He's given to benefit other people and benefit the kingdom of God, He'll say, no, they're not. I don't trust them yet. I don't trust them yet. I love them, but I don't trust them. I love my children, but I do now, but when they were younger, I didn't trust them to give them a new computer when they're 3, because they're going to break it. Why? Because they're not mature enough. They haven't learned to be generous and respectful with what I've given them. And it's the same with God. God says, I want to give you stuff. I want to use you greatly, but I want to trust you. And I want to, and trust comes through obedience. We're real quiet here. You want to see an increase in your seed? You gotta say to God, okay, God, I'm gonna use what you've given me, because I know if I use it, you'll trust me to give me more. Because I know if I give it, if I use it well now, I'll learn to use it well, and it won't be about me, it will be about you. And so you'll trust me, so I'll use what you've given me to be a blessing to other people, not just be a blessing to myself. The second thing, the result of generosity, people will give thanks to God for you. You know, I don't want to be a people that just, you know, we have our holy huddle and have a nice little time and that was great. I want people to be thankful that you're in their lives. I want your workplace to be thankful that you're there. They might not know what you're carrying, but they know you're carrying something that changes everything when you walk in. You see, I believe the church should be a part of the answer to the community, not be this isolated place that does nothing for the community. We fed over 1 million meals last year, and it continues and continues and continues. We did that way before. We didn't do 1 million meals way before, but we've always been generous in what we do. Why? Because we want people to give thanks, not to ourselves, but thanks to God for what God has entrusted us to do. Because we are a river, we're not a reservoir. We don't keep to ourselves, we're a river of blessing. That's why we paid off our debt last year, but we're not gonna stop having vision. So everything in me, if I'm just being selfish, why do we need to get a church building in Cape Town? We're paid off the debt, you know, they're doing all right there. But the truth is, Cape Town needs a building so more people can experience the love of God and becomes a community hub where it can actually be an outreach and be a place where people get fed and cared for. So people give thanks to God. That's a result of generosity. God's kingdom is expanded through generosity. Watch this. Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary, says, when God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will never lack God's supply. In Genesis 1, when God created man, the Bible says, and God blessed them. Awesome. The God of the universe, who's all-powerful, has blessed you. He's blessed you to be a blessing. He blessed them to what? Sit at home and go partying and not care for anyone else? No. Just living for myself? No. He says, and he blessed them and said to them, you and me, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And in brackets in the Amplified version, is using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Woo! God's kingdom. So God says, I blessed you. I've given you fruit. Now multiply that fruit. Now replenish with that fruit. Now bring freedom and healing and breakthrough with that fruit. Multiply and take it and subdue and have dominion. I've blessed you, so you take what I've given you and be a blessing and see it multiply. God's kingdom is expanded through generosity. But here's the thing about generosity. We will give an account with what we did with what God gave us. So when we stand before God, when we graduate to heaven, if you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, the only way to get to heaven is to come into a relationship with Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sin, and God will give you an opportunity at the end of the meeting. But the forgiveness of sin is basically getting rid of the stuff that separated us from God so we can have a relationship with this loving Father who has no lack. He said, but we will give an account to what he has done in our lives. You know, all through scripture, people get really upset when you talk about generosity and finances, whatever. They get all upset. And I'm like, why do they get upset? They go, well, that we shouldn't be talking about that. Well, Jesus talked about it. In fact, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, one out of every six verses deals with possessions and money. Of the 29 parables Jesus told, 16 deal with a person and his possessions. So if Jesus is talking about this, it's a big deal. Matthew 25, there's a story about the kingdom of heaven. Talking about giving an account. It says, Jesus is speaking here, so it's in red. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. God has delivered his goods to you. He's given you talent. He's given you power. He's given you joy. He's given you peace. He's given you love. He's given you resource. He's given the ability to dream. He's delivered his goods to you. You say, I got nothing. God says, what are you talking about? I've given you everything. I've given you the ability to dream. I've given you the ability to use your hands and your feet. I've given you the ability to love. I've been giving you the ability. I've given you the ability. I've given my goods to you. When God gives his goods, God doesn't give bad goods. He gives good goods. You are made in the image of God. You are. See, that's why I heard Pastor Harvin say this last week. You're not a monkey that got lucky. You're made in the image of God. God made you. He made you. He brings his goods to you. He created you. He breathed into you. You're good because you're made in his goodness. It says this, and he gave five talents to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them, and another five came, and likewise he who had two gained another two and more also. But he who received one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money, hid his Lord's goods. Every time you and I don't use our talent and our resources to further his kingdom, we're digging a hole and burying what God has given us to invest. Every time we're selfish and we're fearful and we dig a hole and we say, I'm scared about, you know, what? Here's the biggest lie. I don't know if God could use me. What do you mean? He gave you his goods. But so many people don't get used by God because they bury it through fear and insecurity and discouragement and worry what people will think. No, you are made in the image of God. He's given you all the things you need to see his kingdom expand. So it says, talking about the kingdom of God, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled their accounts with them. He says, hey, 5-talent guy, what have you done with it? 2-talent, what have you done? What have you done with the 1-talent? You know, some of us feel bad for the 1-talent, but you got to understand, if you use the 1-talent, you get 2. And then the father says, all right, I'll give you 2 more. You got 4. Then you get the 4 and you invest that and you get another 4. You use your talents and it increases and you get 8. And then the father says, oh, because you've been faithful with this, I'll give you another 8, 16. And then you get the 16 and you invest that and you have 32. And father comes and says, oh, you've been good with that. I'll give you another 32. Now you're 64. And then the 64 becomes 128. And then he adds his 128, becomes 256. And then you get the 256 and it becomes 512. And then you get the 512 and it becomes 1,024. And then the 1,024 becomes 2,048. And then the 2,048 becomes 4,096. Then the 4,096 becomes 8,182. And then the 8,182 becomes 16,364. And then the 16,364 becomes 32,728. And then the 32,728 becomes 65,456. Started with 1. 1. I started. My gift was music. I couldn't speak. All I could do was play guitar. But I got my 1 gift. And I invested it into his presence. And then they said, you can lead worship. I said, I can't sing. They said, it's all right, we'll put singers behind you. And as I learned, I got more confident that God had given me more goods than I thought I had. Sam got her talent. She had more in her, but she started with serving sandwiches just to be a blessing to other people. Had a desire to worship. And then God took her talent and now she's a global worship leader. But it started with 1 thing. We want all the stuff. We go, well, I need this good and this good. God says, just start with the 1 good. Just start with the 1 thing and I'll increase it and multiply it. And because the reason he wants to do this is so that you don't take the credit. Yeah. Yesterday, we were honored, but we can't take the credit because we never created it. Yesterday, they gave me a honorary doctorate. But it's really us. It's we. It's us. But I can't take the credit because it's God's dream. It's God's talent. It's God's ability. All I just said was yes. We'll give an account. But watch this. Our generosity changes atmospheres. If you're generous, you'll change atmospheres. And my mum, we moved to this, we grew up in a poor neighborhood. And in the street, no one would talk to each other. Everyone was like scared. And my mum comes in and she decides, I'm going to bring some generosity to this street. So at Christmas time, she sends everybody a Christmas card. No one replies. No one. It's like freezing cold ice. Yeah, whatever. Atmosphere. So she does it the next year. And by the way, in that year, she would smile at people and she heard about someone was sick, so she'd make them a pavlova to make them more sick with diabetes. At Christmas time the next year, we got 3 cards or 2 cards, I can't remember, but not many back from those people. Then 3 years later, 20 cards. And then before long, the whole street was sending Christmas cards to everybody. The whole street would look after people and bake cakes for people and do that. It didn't start like that, but my mum said, no, I'm going to change the atmosphere. And when you're generous, you change the atmosphere. A woman who came to Jesus one day and poured out her perfume on Jesus. The Bible says the fragrance changed, the perfume changed the fragrance of the room. We are fragrance changers. So where there's sadness, we bring joy. Where there's loneliness, we bring love. Where there's hopelessness, we bring hope. We are atmosphere changers. We are believers in a God who has a purpose and a destiny. That's why we give. That's why we love. That's why we bring hope. Our generosity changes the atmosphere. And our generosity, lastly, I think it's lastly. Yes, it is. Our generosity, the results of our generosity reflects who or what our heart has, what's in our heart. Our generosity reflects who or what has our hearts. See, what has your heart is what you give to. What has your heart is what you put your time into. What has your heart is what you invest into. The Bible puts it this way. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them, rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. You can't take your houses or your cars to heaven. What you can take to heaven is what you did for people. And people, you take to heaven. I'm not against having nice cars and nice houses. I'm not against all that. But when that becomes the thing that we want and focus on, that's out of balance. It says, don't store up your... And then it says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is... And then it goes on and says, you cannot serve two masters, for one will hate the other and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, why is that statement important? Having money is not bad. It's just when money has you. Money is a servant, not a master. And where my heart is where I sow. Where my heart is where I invest. Where my heart is where I put my time. Where my heart is what I give my love to. Where my heart is. Augustine, I think, says this, where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And where your heart is, there is your happiness. So if your pleasure is Jesus, that is where your treasure is. And that is where your heart is, and that where there is happiness. But if your pleasure is in something else, that is where your treasure goes. That is where your heart is. And it might give you happiness for a second, but it won't give you satisfaction. Martin Luther, the great revivalist, says, I've tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I've given into God's hand, I still possess. I'm inviting you. This is a year of revival. We give our time, we give our resources, we give our love, we give our passion to God, and let Him multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. When we first started this church, we gave the very first offering away. It was $6,000. We gave it away. When we started Planet Shakers Conference, years before that, our youth ministry and young adult ministry took up an offering to start a conference called Planet Shakers, to sow into church planning and missions and into evangelism. And it was like $60,000 back in 1996, and it was probably about $120,000 now. But the millions of people that have been impacted by that seed. Last year in COVID alone, and I'm just saying, it was tight. Things are tight. Things were happening. But we looked at some charities that weren't getting any assistance, and we as a church gave out $100,000 to them as well. Now, did we need that? Would that be $100,000 good to keep in our own bank? Yeah, sure, but well, we've got to help people. We didn't even know these charities, by the way. We said, what are the ones that are in need in our communities? I just got something in my spirit that last year, all hell, and we've still got the tail end of it, and right now India and places like that just going through hell. But all hell was a sign to planet Earth to take it out, to stop it, to hinder our lives. And what's a kingdom response? To rise up and to say, what seems like unprecedented attack is unprecedented opportunity to bring the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the breakthrough of Jesus. And there's a song we're going to sing. I've gone over, but I haven't preached for a while. There's a song that we've been singing. Gee, that's a very bald head. And I feel this so prophetically in my spirit. There's greater things ahead. Greater things you have for me. Next part. Your love overflows and my love overflows for you. God loved us, He gave, and our love overflows for Him, we give. The great, I want that up again, I want to get this in your spirit. There's greater things ahead. There's greater things you have for me. Last night, I was in Sydney. And I was with friends of Joe and Trish and friends of ours. Pastor Darlene and Mark Check. Amazing worship, global, written one of the biggest songs the world's ever sung, Shout to the Lord. And I was talking about our church and I said, you know, I'm going to be, he said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, I'm preaching on this because I really believe there are amazing opportunities and we need to step out like never before. I've got this revival spirit, generosity thing happening in me. Extravagant generosity. And he says, well, let me tell you a story. I wasn't expecting this story. He said, we were looking to set up a new campus, but we didn't have the money. But I went to the camp place and I thought, he said, I asked God, God, we need this. He said, I got, and we decided we're going to step out. He got in his car and he drove back to the office. His CFO greets him. He says, Mark, you're not going to believe this, but our bank accounts have $1 million more in it and we don't know why it's there. Mark goes, you need to go to the bank and check it. They must have made a mistake. So they go to the bank and the bank says, yes, somebody anonymous that does not want to be known has deposited $1 million and they want it. They didn't know that they were looking at something. They just, God knew that in Mark's heart there was something they needed to do and God brought the provision. As I'm flying in, I've been listening to Reinhard Bonnke. Oh, I feel the anointing in this room. And I was listening to Reinhard Bonnke's autobiography. I've been waking Sam up listening to it. Because I'm reading lives of revivalists to see their faith journeys. Because I want to be stirred for more. I don't want to settle where we're at. I want more. I want to do more for God. And he was running a church in Lesotho. But God called him to be evangelist for Africa. See, when he went from Germany to Africa, God gave him a picture of South Africa. And he started in South Africa. But then God gave him a vision for blood-washed Africa. And he saw a revival moving through the whole continent of Africa. And when he was there and he was transitioning into tents and stuff like that, he said, God, God gave him a picture and he says, believe for $100,000 rand. No, a million rand. He says, God, I'm believing for R1 million, but I'm believing for 1 million souls. And he said, you know, God not only gave him the R1 million, but he gave him the R1 million souls. But I didn't only give him the R1 million souls. In fact, they estimate that they've recorded 70 million souls that they had. And God brought in millions and millions of dollars because they were in a transitional season. God had to build their faith. There had to be some extravagant generosity. And what God had done, and those two stories in the last 12 hours just hit me, because I feel each one of us are stepping into this revival to restore, to renew, to revive. But the fruit of revival is extravagant generosity.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.